The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning, and how are you? Welcome to Monday, July 8th, after the long July 4th weekend. It was the goodest weekend ever, wasn't it? Goodest? Yeah, if you listen to the Biden speech. The interview with Stephanopoulos on Friday. It's kind of interesting. I'll have to play a little bit of that. Maybe I'll do that here in the next few minutes, especially the last few minutes in which you say, hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? The Democrats are just just want to throw you overboard, and they figure they're going to lose everything. What are you going to do? It's not going to happen, is more or less what he says. But anyway, anything that happens to be on your mind, join in. One question I wanted to pose to you this morning. Raise your hand if you lost your power this weekend or if your power was intentionally taken down. Give me a call if you could. I'd like to hear what your experience was with the new Pacific Power enhanced safety measures that they have to prevent wildfire. Yeah, it's been intentional. It's been intentional, and we were warning you about that a few weeks ago when they first brought this out. And actually, there's more than a few weeks ago that they said they were going to be doing this. Anytime that they detect faults on a line of some sort, and they're concerned about wildfire, under a modicum of safety, they're shutting the power off. And did you get your power shut off? Now, I was checking the Pacific Power website here. I'm not seeing much. Everything seems to be pretty calm here at the moment. But maybe they do not show the lines that are intentionally de-energized. Their website's only showing everything being pretty good. There's only like one outage here in Southern Oregon right now. And it's over by Jacksonville, one customer. So, I don't know. Meanwhile, though, we do have a wildfire, which has just kicked up. It started off yesterday off of Highway 140, about 20 acres when it first started. And last night around 9:30, the update was that it's about 1,500 acres, the Salt Creek Fire. It's what we're looking at from Oregon Department of Forestry, Southwest Oregon Division. And a Facebook post of them says that air tankers able to create a good temporary containment line with retardant in the daylight, which will help firefighters overnight to establish permanent ones, they say. Firefighters ended up working through the night using dozers and hand tools there. And we're going to get the latest on that from Greg Roberts. He's going to join the show around 7:30. We should know a little bit more. It's not threatening any structures at this point in time. And by the way, this is out, north. It's about 12 miles east of Eagle Point in the Lake Creek area, east of Salt Creek Road, north of Highway 140. It's south and west of Fish Lake Road. Now, Greg last night ended up having an update saying that it was the big problem that they're looking at is that it's not going to be burning towards Eagle Point. That's good for Eagle Point, but it does appear to be wanting to burn up the mountain to Fish Lake. Steep terrain, lots of hills, and the fire wishes to go that way. So anyway, let me know. So we'll have that story with Greg in a little while. But I really would like to hear from you if you lost your power over the weekend, if it was one of those intentional shutdowns. I understand there was a lot of that going on in Merlin, in parts of Grants Pass, and Talent especially. Talent especially got hit very hard. In fact, I was watching NBC5 the other day, I think maybe been Wednesday night, and the mayor of Talent, Darby Ayers Flood, was really PO'd about this, about all these recent power outages. At that point, they talked about, 9 power outages in about 5 days. And what's been going on here is that Pacific Power says because of all the high wildfire risk, its equipment uses enhanced safety settings. Now, this enhanced safety setting, it senses that something might be going on with the line, bit of a surge, too much being drawn, et cetera, and it just cuts the juice going out to that particular area. And I don't blame them. I really don't. And I've just noticed that people were everyone's so upset about the lines being de-energized quite often, but what did you think was going to happen when you had a certain amount of situations, in play here? First off, the state of Oregon has made sure that Pacific Power has spent most of its money. This is through the Public Utilities Commission. Remember how I talk about you got to pay attention to the PUC? The Public Utilities Commission has made this a really big push that the main reason for Pacific Power to exist is to bring in solar and wind renewable energy. That's where the money had to be. It was just the same thing that was done down in Southern California or in California with PG&E. Same kind of thing. We want you building windmills. We want you putting up solar cells. We want sustainable power. Of course, what suffers? Maintenance. It all has to come out of the same pile of money. Then you have a situation in which Pacific Power is sued for billions, has to pay out billions of dollars in wildfire-related losses, according to fire, because of the fires that people claim that their lines start. All right. So money going into windmills and solar cells instead of like fixing the old lines and perhaps changing those things around. And lots of wildfire potential here and lots of power being sucked out of these lines and lots of lawsuits. If you were Pacific Power, what would you do? I'll bet you that you'd be shutting off the power, too. If the choice is between being sued out of existence for wildfire losses or cutting the power, they're going to cut your power, won't they? It's almost as if Oregonians, I mean, I'm not blaming us for thinking this way. They don't think it through. They think that Pacific Power just does stuff within a vacuum. It doesn't do anything without the permission and or the bludgeoning of the Public Utilities Commission on them. They have a guaranteed rate of return for everything they do, and their plans are either directed by or held hostage by the Public Utility Commission. So where do you go? You're being sued out of existence. You think they're going to instantly be able to make sure that all these old lines up in areas, let's say, I could think of a lot of lines that are running through Wagner Creek going up to Wrangell Campground, you know, kind of in that area. Very thick trees, lots of wildfire potential, dry, and yet there are people living up there. I'll bet you it has to do with a lot of those kind of places, the lines that are running in these rural areas. There's not really a lot of money in it to keep that stuff all repaired. Probably cheaper to shut the power off, wouldn't you think? We can talk about that if you want, but I think that's realistically what's going on. But if your power went off during the long weekend due to intentional shutting off, let me know. 770-5633. Let me go to line one. Hi. Good morning, KMED. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine. You're in Talent. Did you have your power go off quite a few times, I imagine?
Well, yeah. I'm out in rural Talent. I'm not in town. I'm off Wagner Creek.
Oh, so you are one of the people I was talking about up in Wagner Creek, that area.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had some real interesting conversations with the power company. First of all, that was the second one. We had one about, and forgive me, I might have the day wrong, approximately 10 days ago we had something, 10 or 11 days ago. Then we had the one that was on the 4th. Apparently it started at 1, a little after 1 in the morning, and didn't get fixed until 4:30 that afternoon. So we were without any power the entire day, and it was kind of miserable.
Yeah, I bet you were. It was pretty warm there. Now, was this an intentional turnoff, though? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, let me tell you what the conversations I had, because I kept calling back and demanding more information. I was getting angry, you know. All I got from them, the one that happened 10 days ago, they said, there was a substation power equipment failure.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's realistic. That happens. Sure.
Well, supposedly. But then I stopped a truck going up the road and had a nice little chat with the workman. And I asked him, I said, well, what's going on here? And he says, well, we're not really sure yet. We think it could be birds. And then he got a call while we were talking, you know, the radio clicked on and he said, oh yeah, it is. It's birds. And I said, is it on, you know, on our road? He says, no, it's over on Anderson. And I said, okay, cool. So I figured that's what it was. And how long does it take to fix one pole where you had birds, you know, messing with it, right?
Well, if they lost a transformer and did some other things, it could take several hours, I would imagine.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about, it was like something like, 14 hours,
you know,
is how long it was out. But anyways, so then eventually I called and got this poor woman on the phone. I say poor woman because I feel sorry
for those people that are on the other line of the Pacific Power line, for sure.
I know.
I bet they hear it.
Very I was actually nice to her, but she kept saying, you know, I discussed the other things I had been told. She says, well, no, that's not what we were told. And she says, we don't know anything about birds, and it's under investigation. I say, oh, so oh. They said it was under investigation. It's going to get turned on at a certain time, but it didn't. So what's going on now? What did they find out? She goes, well, all the information I have is it's under investigation, and now it's going to get turned on at 4:30. I said, okay, well, answer me this. If something's under investigation, how can they tell you when it's going to get fixed if they haven't figured out how to fix it yet?
Something tells me that the left hand's not telling the right hand over at Pacific Power right now.
Well, I'm not sure if that, or maybe they're just told this is what you say.
Or maybe they're not telling people, or they don't want to tell people that they're intentionally shutting this stuff off. I don't know.
But I mean, you just laughed at what I said because it's absurd.
Yeah.
Why would people think that that's what they're supposed to tell us, and that we're not going to notice?
Well, the thing is, if you've ever looked at the Pacific Power website, you'll see though that when they say invest, they always put an estimated time of turn back on. They always put that on the website, even if they're still investigating. And I think they normally have an idea, 90% of the time, okay, we can usually get the power back on within a certain amount of hours. And I think they put a kind of like a default response on something like that. Have you ever noticed that? You look on the website.
I actually don't spend a lot of time looking. I didn't have much time on the computer.
Well, no, I do. I do. I'm always looking at that because people worry, the power out?
I couldn't look that day because the power was out and I have a laptop and my battery was about dead.
So, got it. All right.
Here's the thing. If you take your car in to get your car serviced or fixed, something's wrong, your car's not running right, and you say, well, what do you think? And they said, well, we haven't investigated this yet, but we'll be done in 45 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the same level of something's not right here. They're lying.
Well, something tells me that what's happening is that the people who are on the phone are not really being told the whole truth. And I also have to be honest. I want to share an honest experience when I'm trying to fix things here at the radio station. When stuff goes off, you know, when the radio station goes off, how people who have my cell phone will make sure that I know about it, right? And then they're calling and they're text messaging and everything. And finally, I'm like, okay, do you want me to pick up the phone and talk to you, or do you want me to get it fixed? You know, I can do one or the other, but I can't do both. You know, that's
but you don't have people answering the phone for you that don't have to get out there and fix it.
But what I'm talking about is that the crew could be very much out there working on it. Okay, do you want me to spend a time explaining what's going on here, fixing it? Okay.
I know what you're trying to say, mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, when the people that are, even if they're not being told the truth, the people who answer the phone, and so they're just giving you the best answer that they're able to,
right?
That's still keeping information from the public. They're still lying to us, and just using those people, as people don't know they're lying. But you know what I'm saying? They're not being honest with what's going on.
Yeah, and I have no doubt there's probably, but I have a feeling there's probably a real lack of communication. Where sometimes the crews on the ground don't know, and they're thinking, well, we think it might be this, and then it's like playing a game of telephone. You know, by the time one person says one thing, and by the time it gets to the other end of the telephone chain going through several people, who knows? But anyway, but it's very frustrating, I'm sure. Now, I'm trying to find out, though, is that did you endure an intentional outage? That's what I'm trying to find, because apparently a lot of people in Joke County did.
It's possible. I don't know. I couldn't get enough information to determine that. We had a four-hour one yesterday afternoon, by the way.
Uh-huh. Another one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Mean, you know, it's starting to tally up here, you know, and I'm not happy at all.
Yeah, you have a generator?
Water, when that happens. We don't have, you know, aside from the jugs we keep around, we can't water the garden.
Yeah, do you have a generator?
No, I don't. I can't afford one. And the people I live with, they're Democrats. They won't buy one.
Okay. Because I'll tell you, living out in rural lands right now, it's almost a prerequisite. And looking at the Pacific Power policy, you're going to need that generator more and more. So you might want to talk with your Democrat friends and see if you can get one. Okay.
I've tried. Trust me. We'll see. We'll see what I can do. But anyways, I just thought I'd let you know what I found out. And I'm glad to see you back this morning.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to be back, too. And I'm sorry for your trouble there. Thanks for the call there, Francine. Okay, it's one person's experience, but Talon's had a lot of outages over the last few days. Hi, good morning, KMED, KBXG. Who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is Ed.
Hello, Ed. How are you?
Well, I'm disturbed, and it's, you know, like what Francine was just talking about, all this stuff. The reality, to me, is it goes back to the Pavlov's dog experiments, mm-hmm. you know, where they ring the bell, they get the dog to salivate while they're eating, and then they ring the bell with no food, and the dog still salivates. But reality to it is that our legal situation, the laws regarding power generation, is it supposed to be a reliable source of power always, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, what have they done? They've introduced, quote-unquote, wildfire into the mix. Now they have, but you've got to understand, that's usually prescribed fire as it grows. And now they got us thinking, well, we have to shut our power off all the time. Well, what do you do if you live in a rural land where you need that power just to keep everything going? And every aspect of this, we have to re-examine what we're allowing the Public Utility Commission, and we have to make...
You said the key phrase, though, the Public Utility Commission, because remember, I don't think you can sue Pacific Corps for billions of dollars and win billions of dollars in payout and then not expect this kind of a policy. I don't think you can.
The reality to it is, In what I've read, and you know how much I've read, Bill, the aspect of these suits was a ridiculous thing. And it was meant to get us conditioned to not having reliable power because
I will not disagree with you at all on this. You are absolutely right on this. But nevertheless, we are here. People are going to blame Pacific Power. They're looking in the wrong direction.
That's right. That's exactly right, Bill. And what we have to do is retrain people to understanding that this is controllable at a different level. It's based upon a life of acceptance. If you're going to accept what they're telling you all the time, you have to get off your rear end. You have to make comments. You have to start getting involved in your life. And it's like, you look at this fire yesterday. You made a statement earlier. It started at about 20 acres. I would beg to differ. It started as an ignition point, very small. And
I'm saying when it was first reported, it was 20 acres, okay?
Right, right. And no, I'm not saying you were wrong in that because that's the general scheme. But what we have to do is break it down in a critical thought process and then look back. And, how stupid is somebody that they started this fire? That's what we got to go to. We got to start putting together a community watch, whatever the direction. If the government fails to take care of us, then they're violating a primary fiduciary obligation and duty. And if we look at this and we allow policy to come in, which is allow that fire to grow and burn a prescription, that is wrong. And it is absurdly wrong. And we have to start putting common sense back into this because it's ridiculous.
Ed, thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. I know you're calling hot and bothered. I know it's been hot. Okay.
But
I also want people to understand, and I think you would agree with me too, that Pacific Power doesn't do anything. It doesn't even wipe its behind without the Public Utilities Commission permission and or prodding. Would you agree with me on that, the way the system is set up?
I look at the way the system is headed by the basis that they have their stakeholder involvement from all of the non-governmental organizations.
I know.
Pushing for higher rate hikes, pushing for limited use, get people paying more so they use less. This is the concept.
And also getting that, and we'll shut the power off more often, and getting you used to chaotic and intermittent solar and renewable.
Well, sure. Now you're adopting a concept that the power grid within the United States is no longer reliable because of the threat of climate change.
No, it's because of the policy of government idiots and their not NGO handmaidens. That's what it is.
There you go.
We had plenty of reliable power before. Good baseload coal, natural gas, various other things, lots of hydro, etc. Stuff that you could count on 24/7 when you needed it, not when Mother Nature provides it. But I agree with you, Ed, on that particular case that this is conditioning people to be prepared for intermittent and chaotic, to get you used to it. Oh, well, this is just normal. Kind of like how South Australia would tend to just did the power just disappears for a few hours in the middle of the day. Oh, it's just life down here. It's just a policy, right? That kind of thing. It just happens. All right. Ed, love you, babe. Thanks for the call. Got to go here, but we could go on for this for hours, and maybe we will. It's 6:33 at KMED and KBXG.
Northwest summer's out on the patio. There's nothing better. But Terraforma Foundation Systems wants you to know there's nothing worse than a cracked, broken patio. It's unsightly and unsafe. If you have sinking or separating concrete patios, walkways, porches, or driveways, Terra Firma can help. Our concrete leveling can restore your home's concrete. Enjoy your outdoor spaces this summer. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. That's GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
Sweetwater Sanitation are your experts in the sanitation business. With over 20 years of providing septic services in Southern Oregon, Sweetwater Sanitation gets the job done the right way. Sweetwater Sanitation can inspect, service, repair, and pump your septic tank so you can focus on enjoying time with friends and family and not a septic disaster. Give them a call at 541-821-1426 or check them out online at swsmodoc.com. Sweetwater Sanitation, their service is the difference.
Here are three great reasons to do Plan Z, the diet by Zola, this summer. Hi, this is Zola. Reason number one, you get to grill. On Plan Z, you can enjoy steak, chops, burgers, and even hot dogs. We give you the recipes for jazzing up those burgers, and we teach you the fixings to use so you'll lose weight. Number two, we teach you how to take advantage of all the bounty available at your farmer's market. Believe it or not, there are even some veggies and fruits that contribute to weight gain. We'll teach you what to watch out for. Reason three, our dieters lose an average of 31 pounds in less than 50 days. That means you can be skinnier, healthier, and feeling like wearing shorts before winter hits us again. You can go on vacation, you can go to the pool party, and you can contribute to the family reunion potluck, all without blowing your diet. It's an easy decision. Check us out at PlanZDiet.com. You can read my story about how I struggled with weight gain for about 40 years before I decided I had to design my own diet. You might be just like me, so check it out, PlanZDiet.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Potter, Body Shop Manager at Lithia Body and Paint, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
635, Gene, Joe County. Hey, Gene, you got that letter from Pacific Power saying they would shut the juice off because of safety, right?
Yes, and they're going to push it up on my line and determine if the power needs to be shut off.
That's right. If there's any issue about safety, especially during fire season, they'll just cut the juice, and that's the policy now.
But the whole problem is they're going to charge me for the power going through the line when it's shut off.
I don't think they can do that.
They do it.
Well,
we had the power shut off for a week. I had to pay for the power going through the line that I wasn't using.
That doesn't make sense, because if it didn't go through the smart meter, it couldn't be measured.
They put it on my bill anyway. And I called them about it. Well, you're just going to have to pay for it because the power was going through the line. Didn't do me a damn bit of good, but I had to pay for it.
Oh, there's something wrong there. There's something very wrong there if that's the case.
Well, they wouldn't deduct it from my bill. They wouldn't deduct the week.
Now, do you have a smart meter or do you have a regular meter?
Well, thanks to my neighbor, I got a smart meter when they were going around.
Okay, because
my neighbor gave them permission, I didn't.
Yeah, okay, so you have the smart meter. I would ask them for a full accounting of that, because you can actually look at your hourly usage, and if your power was out, there's no way you could have been using it. I think they're trying to screw you, okay?
When the power went out, it was before they put these stupid spy meters out, and I had to pay for it because they would not even bother adjusting it.
Now, was this recently or a long time ago?
It was a few years ago.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like right now. Okay, all right, yeah, I can't help you with something years ago, but the point well taken, all right? All right, Gene, I appreciate the call. It's 6:37. We'll catch up on the rest of the news coming up.
It's Bill Meyer, and here's another listener who saved at Sky Park Insurance. Meet Jason from Medford.
I've been with the same company for 4 years and heard Steve's commercial. I gave him a call and he saved me nearly $1,000 a year on my two cars. Thanks, Steve.
Skypark is an independent agency with providers like Progressive, Safeco, Foremost, and many more. Call Steve for a quote, 261-5444, or visit skyparkins.com.
Hi, this is Steve from Skypark Insurance. At Skypark, we make insurance easy.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A fire that was first reported shortly after 4 p.m. Sunday has grown to over 1,500 acres and is burning northeast of Medford and near Lake Creek in Jackson County. The fire is burning on steep slopes and dry vegetation. Firefighters are using attacks from the air and heavy equipment on the ground to try and control the blaze, which is 0% contained. There have been some level one evacuation notices, and units are working on structure protection around Wade Reservoir. The Oregon Department of Forestry has declared all of its districts in fire season. That includes 16 million acres of private, county, state, and federal land. Campfires may be banned or restricted to only approved campgrounds. Remember when camping used to be affordable in Oregon? Well, rates at some Oregon state parks are likely going up next year, with tent site rates increasing to $29 a day. Full hookup sites would be 52. Oregon State Parks is taking comments on the proposal through August 30th. Bill London, KMED.
Jasper's Cafe, voted Medford's best burgers for 14 years running. Jasper's has been a local tradition for over 40 years. Come in and see for yourself why we've been recognized nationally for our amazing burgers featuring outrageous toppings and a delicious range of meats, from local grass-fed beef to elk to bison and more. We're just 1 mile up North Pacific Highway from the mall, or check out our menu at jasperscafe.com. Jasper's, burgers with attitude.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no-obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
The email of the day on the Bill Myers Show, sponsored by Central Point Family Dentistry. See all they have to offer at centralpointfamilydentistry.com and call for an appointment. Dr. Steve Nelson and his staff are next to Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, just off Pine in Central Point.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMET.
Carl Gould joins me right now from New Jersey. We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the retail world, and the in the bricks and mortar world seems to be coming under even more pressure, I guess, or it's a struggle. And I'm always kind of looking at that when it comes to the retail world, because the mom and pop world here in Southern Oregon is certainly bricks and mortar, but more of it moving online. And I want to talk with Carl. Carl, it's great to have you on. And you are with the consulting firm Seven Stage Advisors. What is Seven Stage Advisors? Can you tell us about that first, and then we'll break down the latest news there?
Sure. Seven Stage Advisors is a growth advisory. So in other words, we work with businesses to show them how to optimize their business model, how to set their pricing and maximize their pricing, how to find all the profit within the business and how to differentiate themselves.
Okay. And are you mostly working with the big boys? What is the tier of businesses you tend to operate within?
So we work with small to mid-market companies. We do work with some Fortune 500 companies as well, but most of our clientele market.
Okay, I always appreciate talking with you with big financial brains within this world, and I've been kind of wondering what is the future of retail. Certainly, the future of bricks and mortar, because we get to the point where there's been kind of a vicious cycle in many stores in which
Well, they don't really stock a lot, and so people buy online, and then yet, you know, the more you buy online, the more the bricks and mortar stores tends to suffer, and there's been, you know, a lot of turmoil, I guess, going on within this. And you were telling me that there has been an amazing merger in the luxury world, that we're even seeing this in the luxury world, and they're combining forces. What's the story there? It's quite interesting.
Yeah, so Saks Fifth Avenue, that the store we've all heard of, has purchased Neiman Marcus and Bergdorf Goodman. Hmm. And two little known is coming in as a minority investor, and Salesforce.com is doing the same. And so this creates a leader in the luxury retail market. We have Walmart at the bottom of the market,
yeah,
value part of the market. We have Target in the mid-market. The luxury retailers coming together and creating a solid presence at that luxury niche. This is a smart move. This is a good move.
So this is kind of creating a Walmart size enterprise, though, but for the real high end. Is that a fair way of looking at this then?
Correct. With e-commerce. So Walmart and Target have done a really good job over the since the pandemic,
uh-huh,
of building their online platform, and where they really ate Amazon's lunch with same-day delivery and curbside delivery, because they have the benefit of thousands of retail local communities, and this is where Amazon always struggled. You've heard people talk about the last mile.
Right.
The last mile of delivery is the hardest mile of delivery. And so people, we're used to the instant gratification of ordering online, but we don't get the instant gratification of receiving our order quickly. We order online from Amazon, sure, but then it might take a week to get it. Whereas I can go on Walmart.com, Target.com, order it, and then on my way home, pick it right up.
Hmm.
So I that instant gratification, consumers have shown they really like that. And
You know something, Carl, it's interesting. It's kind of going back to when I was a little kid. And I don't know, when you were a little kid, did you ever watch Looney Tunes cartoons? You're a little
Absolutely.
Kid? Absolutely. Okay, all right. Kind of reminds you of back when the Roadrunner or whatever it is would do a phone call to Acme, and then immediately the scooter comes.
Exactly. Right.
And of course,
sitting on this for years, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. You were laughing at that back then when you were a kid because you knew it didn't work that way. But now it's like we're kind of getting that in the real world. What do you think is the future of bricks and mortar? You know, I'll read some people reporting that they think that the day of the mall is over. Other people are saying that the mall is actually, and the retail store is actually making a resurgent. How do you see it playing out right now?
So there's two really important things you need to know about the way people buy and with online shopping. Mm-hmm. There are two economies out there. There is the standardized economy and there's the customized economy. The standardized economy is I'm buying socks and toothpaste and things that I already know that fit. I know they work. I don't need a consultation on that. I can buy paper clips anywhere. I don't need to drive to a store. I just buy them online. I know what a paper clip is. Economy. However, buying a suit for an upcoming awards dinner or a tuxedo, you need to go somewhere. I need to make sure this thing fits. I got to talk to the right person. Is this the right color for me? If I'm going to buy furniture for my home, I need to speak to a decorator. So the customized economy will always be in brick and mortar. That's why we go to stores. We need a consultation, number one.
Yeah.
But what we will also, and so here's the, so that's the first part, standardized versus customized. The second part is the experience. All right. The malls aren't dying because of online shopping. The malls are dying.
Okay. You know, I'm losing your phone. I lost your phone there. Why are the malls dying there, Carl? Lost it.
Sorry. The malls are not dying because of online shopping. The malls are dying because they are boring. They're boring to go to. They're not fun. There's no experience there. So retailers will do well if they provide an experience.
Huh.
All right. I was just in Scheels Sports store out in Colorado Springs. Inside of the retail store, they have a cafe that serves a Ferris wheel. They have an arcade. They also have little bowling lanes. The place was packed. Not full, packed.
Packed. Okay.
It was packed. And rightfully so. Families came. The kids were there.
Yeah.
It was an experience.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that's really the future. It sounds like if you don't have a circus in your retail center, then it doesn't matter anymore. That's true, right? Is that where you're coming from?
Well, a circus is one way to go. But yeah. Think of an Apple store. If you walk into an iPhone is, but Apple stores are full all the time because they have geniuses there and they run workshops. And you can learn how to use your phone and accessorize your devices, and there are clinics. So Apple, which is an appliance store, because it's interactive and it's engaging, and as a result, they are doing fine from a retail standpoint. It's about the experience that's appropriate for whatever product you're selling.
Okay. All right. Carl Gould here with me once again. And we're talking about this big merger in the luxury brands here. Neiman Marcus merging with a couple of other luxury retailers, also including Amazon in this deal. So we're seeing even more of this into the online. Now, wouldn't you think, though, that you talked about the standard economy versus the customized economy? I just want to make sure I got that right. Okay.
Yeah, the standardized versus customized, yeah.
Wouldn't, by definition, the luxury one be the customized economy more so than standardized? Because it seems to me like the online is almost along the lines of for the standard economy. What say you?
Correct. It will be a little bit more customized now, and the experience. If we add the experience in, the luxury buyer is going to want a more personalized. They're going to want a more VIP experience. So, if Bergdorf Goodman and Neiman Marcus and Saks can really create that personalized concierge white glove experience, and you can get consultation while you're there, that's gonna ring very well.
Okay.
In those stores.
All right. So that's the story. Custom economy is going to be the bricks and mortar, or the customized economy. The standard bricks and mortar deal is going to be more of the standardized economy. Does that mean like the office stores like the Office Maxes and the Office Depots and the Staples and things like that? Does it mean that essentially those are almost going to be exclusively online over time, the way you see? Because there's no experience when you go there. You know that.
Yeah, you don't need – the reason you go to that store now is because you need something today and you forgot it.
Right.
So those stores, yeah, I think those stores – now, you told me at Looney Tunes, remember brochure stores?
Yeah.
You would go in and you would just go through the brochure and then you would order it and then they would send it to you. I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see Staples and Office Depot become kiosk stores within other stores where you come in and you can scan things, order them, solve the same day delivery. I think that's the way where you're going to see office stores go.
All right, very good. Where can people find out more about this this trend? Because you always have your finger on the pulse of this, Carl. Where do you go at your company?
I write articles. Oh, thank you. I write articles monthly on LinkedIn on this very site, carlgould.com or 7stageadvisors.com.
Seven Stage Advisors. Okay, 7stageadvisors.com. Now, in your opinion, I don't think you get involved in politics too much. Would that be a fair assessment there? Overall,
I have quietly in the past, but no, the political arena is not necessarily my area. But go for it.
Okay, I was just going to ask in the business world, in the online retail and retail in general, here is there a pick of who they would rather have as president? Given that we have two presumed candidates right now, are you detecting any overall consensus there so far?
Hands down Republican.
Hands down Republican. They want the Republican
to win. No matter what they say publicly, hands down Republican.
Interesting.
Because the Republican policies, set aside the candidates. Set aside the candidates for a second.
Okay.
But Republican policies will tend to favor less regulation, lower taxes, and giving the businesses more freedom to operate. And so they typically will favor Republican policies.
All right, very good. So it doesn't matter what they're talking about in the DEI meeting. They want the Republican.
Nope.
Carl, I always appreciate the acumen on this one. Thanks for having joined the show today. I'll put all your information up there and go out there and advise a lot of other companies to get bigger, okay? Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you. You got it, Bill. Talk to you soon.
Be well. It is 6:53 at KMED and 99.3, rather, KBXG. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
I Feel the Earth Move is a pop hit recorded by Carole King in 1971. If your house has sloping floors, cracks in walls, or doors and windows that are not shutting smoothly, you may not have felt the earth move, but you can bet it's happening. Call Millette Construction for a free inspection and estimate to level your house and fix the water issue that's causing the problem. By the way, the flip side of the 45 was even a bigger hit. It's too late, so don't wait. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, it never gets any dirt out. But I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED.
Coming up on the next Hughes Lumber. When 2x4s get together, only one thing can happen. Walls get built. Check out the studs, followed by contractors and do-it-yourselfers. Featuring lumber, hardware, and siding. Starring decks, additions, and ADUs. It's the return of home enhancements. But watch out for that knotty pine. Get the best build for your buck values at Hughes Lumber. Your top show for quality, price, selection, service. So don't miss Hughes Lumber on Crater Lake Highway next to Garrison's.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Meyer Show.
I appreciate you being here. Join the conversation at 770-5633-770-KMED. My email, bill@billmeyershow.com. Someone just wrote me a few minutes ago. I think I just lost the email. Where was that? That happens. I don't know what happened. I had Reverend David wrote me just a moment ago, and the email just disappeared. And he was talking about, I know, I'll wait until I find that email. It just disappeared. Maybe I hit the delete button. Oh, there it is. Got it. Found it. David, I'm glad that the interweb didn't get rid of your email. He says, hey, Bill, I just heard on your news that they are going to raise the fees to camp in Oregon to $25 a day. They should thank their lucky stars that there are people who will still pay $20 a day to camp in Oregon when you can basically camp for free anywhere in this idiotic state. talking about the homeless situation, you're right. Actually, it's more than that, David. It's more than that, Dave. It is $29. You're talking about raising the tent fee. The tent fee. No services, right? Just the tent. To take your tent and slap it down on a space with a fire ring, I guess, would be $29 a night. So, well, all right, let's just call it $30. $30 a night. So that is the equivalent of a tent space. A tent space in an Oregon park is now worth about $900 a month in revenue. Can you believe that? Does that sound about right? By the way, full hookups are talking about being increased up to $52 a night. So that means a space just to park the RV is $1,600 a month. $1,600 a month. Does that sound about right? Wow. Now, I know you can only camp for 2 weeks at a time, right? Isn't that the way that works? But yeah, that's what they're talking about doing. Another person wrote me and said anybody that actually pays to camp in this state must be a fool, given the homelessness rules. John Ball from Shady Cove also poses a question this morning. By the way, my email is bill@billmeyershow.com. How does the Democratic Party remove the sitting POTUS from their ticket, Bill? After winning the votes in the primary to the candidate, the only reason can be fitness. Is he fit to be the candidate? If not, we must ask ourselves, is he fit to be president? This could get very sketchy. Can you say, Madam President Harris? Scary times we're living in. Actually, you know what it comes right down to it, John? Big problem for the Democrats is that unless Joe quits, there's very little way to actually kick him out from the position. Now, there is talk. There is talk. In fact, I'll try to find that story, the complete story. But there is talk about forcing him out or having him say, hey, I don't want to quit, or I don't want to, I can't really be the, the nominee at this point. And then doing a series of hurry-up primaries. Because remember, the primaries have already been done. In their democracy, the Democrats already have Joe Biden locked in. Very difficult. They just can't force him in. In fact, I think there are three state ballots that they could not put someone different on that without some serious legroom here from the Democrats, or legwork, rather. And so that's the talk at this point. We get him in and do a hurry up primary, and then get somebody new in. That kind of thing. More Democrats, by the way, are calling for President Biden to drop out. This from Politico. Several more senior House Democrats calling on Joe Manchin to abandon his election bid during a private call convened by Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader, yesterday afternoon. Among those forcefully calling for Biden to stand down, Representative Jerry Nadler, Representative Adam Smith from Washington, Representative Takano from California, and Joe Morrell from New York. The additional calls for Biden to stand aside from senior Democrats comes after the president's lackluster performance on the ABC interview. 770-5633. There's the latest there on the Joe Manchin drama. We go back to the phones. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Hey, you know, Bill, this is Brad.
Brad, how you doing?
I can't help but think in my mind, I remember that old song, Happy Times Are Here Again. Well, all these changes, potentially. We don't know
what. No, hold on. If you're going to come on, though, I have to have polka.
In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it.
There you go, my friend. Now you can continue on. So, Happy Days Are Here Again. I don't have that, but I do have In Heaven, There Is No Beer. All right?
You know, you had on a guy talking about, was it retail?
Yeah, retail.
Well, you know, I just, seriously, I happened to do some research, and I looked up how many stores were anticipated to close, the retail locations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge number, like 2,400 of national chain locations across the nation. And I thought, wow. I mean, it's because, you know, they can't make money. I guess Walgreens is shutting a bunch down, too.
Not to mention that a lot of those places like the Walgreens have been shutting down for a while in the inner cities, where diversity has been allowed to essentially run roughshod and rob the stores blind. In fact, I think there was a convenience store in Oakland over the weekend that 100-person mob just broke in the middle of the night. It was shut down. And only just a stand-up window or a drive-up window kind of thing. And they just smashed in and robbed the place blind. And could you imagine being a big retailer and saying, I don't think we want to serve there any longer? Know what I'm getting at?
You know, yeah, can you blame them? They got a right to make a living.
Oh, by the way, it took 9 hours for the cops to show up in Oakland to that place. Yeah, because they said that was a lower priority. It wasn't until they saw the video of the mob, tearing the place apart. Maybe we ought to send an officer or two, that kind of thing.
And a different topic, you mentioned camping. I moved here in 85, and I took my kids camping all the time. And the sad thing with camping, you didn't mention, they're expecting brownouts from these campgrounds.
They're what?
They're expecting brownouts where you camp.
How could you charge the phone, right? Oh, that's so funny. You know, I still have a book somewhere in my library. I probably have it boxed away. I wonder if you could even still do it. I probably bought this book 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. It was called Camping in the West on $5 a Day or Less. It was it was all of these campsites all across the West and the Northwest and the Southwest out here on the West Coast that were $5 or less, in many cases free, you know, for camping. And it was the first place that I learned about the Wrangell Campground. You know, the Wrangell Campground up by past Wrangell Gap on past Mount Ashland, you know, up there. You know, it was an old CCC camp from the 1930s. And it still doesn't cost anything to go there. And it, at least I think it doesn't. I don't think they put a fee box up there yet. But I wonder if they can even do that now, if there is such a thing as $5. Maybe if it was even $10 a night or less. Is there any place to do that any longer? I don't know.
You know, all I know, and you're bringing back memories, but when we first moved here, we would go up the Natural Bridge. And you know where that is? Up by
Yeah, up past Amy's Pie and everything, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and what was so cool is
is it Amy's? What's the name of that cafe? Is it Amy's Cafe, or am I getting the name wrong? Right.
Becky's.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they still had the old stoves that the CCC's built at a Natural Bridge, and they had like this grill on top of it. They had the door. And you could actually cook stuff on it. It was just kind of, my kids loved that.
Some of the best memories I have with my son and daughter is with camping with them in the Vanagon and places like that. It's just beautiful, beautiful memories. But I have to tell you, $29 a night to camp on a tent for a tent, doesn't that sound a little high to you?
Yeah, I think I got to start having relatives at my house to charge them.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Now, if a tent space is $29 a night, boy, everything else. I appreciate the call, brother, from another Slovenian mother. Okay? You take care. It's 5 minutes after 8. We'll catch up on Town Hall News, too. State Representative Court Boyce joins the show. He's going to be going to the GOP convention. That should be interesting. We'll kick it all around with him coming up.
Stewardship. That means taking great care of the people and the things we've been entrusted with. Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. Being good stewards is a value at the core of our business. Every interaction.